and welcome to Total Nerd List, the podcast where we make lists and be nerds. I'm Shane.
I'm Tom.
And I'm Reggie.
And this week, we're talking about the Nintendo Entertainment System. More specifically, our favorite games from them.
The NES.
The NES, which I did not have. Did y'all have one growing up?
Yes. That was the first system I remember playing. I also got a NES for my birthday one year when I was younger. That the games, instead of sliding in and pushing down, the games just like popped in at the top loader, which when I first got it, I thought it was a Super Nintendo, and then I got really sad and cried because it wasn't a Super Nintendo, it was an NES, but I still loved it because I had a bunch of NES games.
Yeah, so I didn't have an NES. We started, my like first game system ever growing up was a Super Nintendo. I think just being a couple years older than y'all, it was kind of past, I wasn't like video game age when it, when NES was a thing.
Wait, how old are you?
I think I'm 3 years younger than you.
Okay, because you said older.
Yeah, you said older, and I was like, wait a minute, no. I can't imagine, I can't believe 3 years made that big of a difference for gaming. Well, and Shane, but you're like a year older than me, too, though, right? So
ever since y'all learned how to like enter a quantum state and stop aging, I've kind of caught up to y'all. Reggie is 28.
This year, this in 2 weeks.
You're turning 28?
28.
28 and holding?
Can't believe it, y'all. Finally. Wink.
Yeah, first game system was Super Nintendo, and the first game system I owned was actually a Game Boy Pocket, which I guess I played games that predated the NES, because you could play just regular Game Boy games. So it was super weird, like, making this list that there was, like, a gap between the games I was used to.
Yes, well, I had one, and I still have it. It's very finicky, so now I have a handheld that will actually play them that I really, really like slightly more, just because I can pop it in and go, instead of having to blow 50 million times into it, which you're not supposed to do, but that's how you get it to work.
And threaten them.
Yes.
I used to threaten my games when they stopped working. I'd be like, I swear to God, if you don't start working, I will never play you again. I will put you in a drawer, and you will never see sunlight again. And then they worked.
I feel like these game systems with the cartridges like taught us that like the satisfaction of when like a game makes you mad and you just like hit it on something and it starts working, you're like you're like, oh, it finally worked.
And you use alcohol swabs to clean it, which may or may not be exactly kosher according to Nintendo, but
we had one of those special like cleaners. Because
did it work?
Yeah, my biological family before I was adopted by my bio father was also super into video games, or at least we always had video games because of him. And so he had like, we had the Game Genie, we had the cleaner thing, we had the book with all of the cheat codes for all of the games, and like we had it all.
In my day, we bought cheat codes in books. And had to blow on our video games.
All right, get out of here, Thomas.
Yes. I didn't use cheat codes, but
I was all about some cheat codes.
Yeah, no, now I tell you, I'm like, let me look up a YouTube video on how to get off this level.
Yeah.
Did they have Game Sharks for like SNES and regular NES?
Yeah, I had a game, it was called Game Genie.
Game Genie.
I had a Game Genie for the regular Nintendo, and it like it made everything stick out of the opening, cuz then you put the you had to like put the game in the Game Genie and then put the Game Genie in the system. And then you had to go and put in the codes for whatever kind of things you want. And there was X amount of cheat codes that you could put in at a time. And so, like, there was the Tiny Toon games. Yeah, I used cheat codes, whatever. There were the Tiny Toon games, and one of them where you couldn't put in all of the cheat codes. You had to decide, like, either invincibility or infinite lives or blah, 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 blah. I normally just did the infinite lives one, so that way you could actually
play
and not die six times and then have to start all the way over.
Yes, they were notoriously hard back in the day.
Back in my day!
No, very few games had saving points, if any.
The internet used to come in the mail.
Okay, Netflix, get out of here.
But, well, yes.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, we'll get into more NES goodness. What are you guys nerding out on this past week?
Well, you know me, Pokemon, taking pictures of tiny things in my office during breaks from work. Tiny plastic miniature figures, not the dirty thing Reggie's gestures are making it into.
I would never. Yeah, I would.
Reggie, go to the dirty place, never.
No.
But yeah, pretty normal week. I watched at Shane's, Shane and Reggie kind of said they were going to do it, but I watched Fear Street, which we are going to talk about later in this episode.
Yeah, I also watched Fear Street.
So did I.
My family watched it with us too. We made it a whole family thing.
Yeah, we'll talk about that more, but pretty straightforward week for me. I'm excited to talk about Fear Street.
Yeah, nice.
What about you, Reggie?
Well, I have still been on vacation since last episode. I took a nice long one.
Lucky.
Today, as we were recording right now, is the last evening. Tomorrow I have to go back to work. So this week I've just kind of been putzing around. I did some landscaping in my backyard. I cut down a bunch of trees and we installed I call it a West Side Story clothesline, where it's like connected between the buildings and you like pull it out and put it into the sun.
And you can yell at people from it.
Yeah, and stuff like that. Our dryer works, but it's been sometimes it'll make this awful squeaking sound, and we've already paid a couple $100 to have it fixed, and it has not been fixed.
Some of y'all may know this dryer from a certain episode where we left it on, and you could hear it the whole time.
That said dryer.
It has been a star of our podcast.
Yeah, it's been difficult. Well, since it's summertime and it's so nice and where we live, we decided to put up a clothesline until we can figure out either fixing it or getting a new one. So I did a bunch of manual labor, of course, my vacation. And then when I was younger, one of my favorite reality game shows was called The Mole. Do you guys remember that at all?
Vaguely. I don't think I watched it, but it's familiar.
So X amount of people are brought together and they have to work together as a team to, money into the pot. But one of them is a mole whose sole purpose is to sabotage. I was obsessed with that when I was a kid. Well, they added both seasons to Netflix.
Yay.
There was a Celebrity Mole season as well, which I have not seen on Netflix, but I'm hoping they're going to add that. But so we watched all of the first season already and are making our way through the second season. And then I've been just trying to plow through The Evil Within 2.
Mm-hmm.
It was added to the Game Pass. I think there's 17 chapters and I'm on chapter 13. So nice. I'm right there on the end with the collectible screen. I've got like 27 out of 30. So I know I'm coming to the end of the game because there's no more collectibles to unlock and find and stuff like that. Scary. Can't play it by myself, unfortunately. I do have to wait until somebody is in the living room with me just because I don't know if my old age has made me jumpy easier or what. Maybe it's because I'm sitting so close to the TV. Maybe I should move further back. But that's been it. Nothing too crazy, nothing too boring.
Mm-hmm. Nothing too crazy, except for that like 12 hours we spent, that shift at work we spent on a boat together.
Oh, yeah. We did celebrate 4th of July on a boat this past week.
And
yeah, that was fun.
You were basically on the water for like a week straight.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's because I'm a Cancer, and like my you friend and Heather.
You and your friend Heather kept talking about the water signs.
That's right. Heather and I are 9 days apart.
Aww.
Like that. So, and then our other buddy, Jimmy, I've mentioned him before. Mm-hmm. It's like 9 days, or Jimmy's a couple weeks, and then Heather is 9 days, and then it's me, and then there's somebody else whose birthday. I think he's...
They don't listen, because they just got left out.
No. boat was fun. Lots of drinking, lots of eating, lots of baking in the sun. You know, it was a good week.
Yeah.
Shane, what have you done?
So I feel like I had not done a lot either. Then I wrote some stuff down. Like I did a bit. I'm right in the middle of Jurassic Park Camp Cretaceous in the third season. I don't know if it's coming back for season 4. I hope so.
All the kids get eaten yet?
No.
Just a couple?
I mean, something major happened in the last episode I just watched. One of their lives are in, like, more danger than the usual chase by a dinosaur.
Yes.
Yes, there was more, what's the word, hybrids than the Indominal Rex that was in the movies.
Oh.
So that's been really cool to see.
So does this take place, okay, so you're in third season, so is this taking place during Jurassic World?
Yeah, so the first one takes place in Jurassic World, and the events that happen in there, you know, with all the dinosaurs getting out, happens in the first season of Camp Cretaceous. And
oh, so it's not the first Jurassic Park movie, it's the Jurassic World.
Yes.
Oh, that makes so much more sense now.
The audacity of this franchise.
How dare
to
they?
To keep making the same mistake. Nature always finds a way. Why do you keep doing this?
Finds a way.
But I am still enjoying that.
No, they got it under control this time, Tom. It's okay.
They don't.
They've got it. It's okay.
I know a well-known chaos theorist named Jeffrey Goldblum who has told me that how none of this will ever work in the sheer audacity.
I told you my issue with Jeff Goldblum, right?
No. The apartment Goldblum or not? The
looks apartment identical to my biological father.
Oh.
Like, when I say identical, I mean like splitting image. I have a hard time watching movies with Jeff Goldblum. Not so much old Jeff Goldblum now, but like Jurassic Park, The Fly era Jeff Goldblum. Uh-huh. Like watching those, I'm like, this literally looks like my bio father. I'll find a picture of him and show you guys what I'm talking about.
Yes.
It doesn't impede me from appreciating and loving Jeff Goldblum because I do love him.
Thinking he's a zaddy?
Say what?
Thinking he's a zaddy?
A zaddy.
But I really enjoyed revisiting that world in those movies, and I always forget how much I like them till the next one comes out, and we don't have anything until the next year, so been working on those, finishing up the season of Flash. We got two more episodes, one next week and one the week afterwards, because I am watching it live as it airs.
Children dying in that, too?
You know, possibly. Grown children.
I saw a meme about The Flash, and it was like, why are we still watching Flash? It was like, hoping that it recaptures the magic of season one and two. Is that accurate, is it good all the way through?
I mean, yeah, it's kind of accurate for, like, the later seasons, if I'm being honest. I do like it, because they've started something now, like, they're getting into a Flash War of sorts, which I'm really excited about.
A Flash War, where they're throwing flashbangs at each other?
No, there's a bunch of flashes.
Flash War, what I did on 4th of July with neighbors?
Not that kind either, Tom.
Didn't someone from The Flash pass away, like someone major to the storyline?
No.
Like the actor?
I swear I saw in one of those things that's like underneath, you know, those like scam ads almost.
The clickbaits. Clickbaits. That's why there's clickbaits.
Wait, but I swear it said someone from Flash died.
Are you seeing the meme where he's by the tombstone?
No. Like, I really think like an actor from Flash died.
We still have all our actors.
And what's this about Michael Keaton coming back for The Flash?
So this is The Flash the movie. Because they're doing Flashpoint.
Logan Williams.
Oh, it's the movie?
Yes.
I thought the movie got canceled because the actor who played The Flash was in, like, hot water for something. Something Ezra, isn't that his name?
It's not canceled. Far as I know, it's still happening.
Okay, well, never mind. I was super confused.
Back to The Flash, though. Apparently, the person who played young Barry Allen passed away.
Logan Child?
Yeah, Logan Williams passed away.
Oh, that is really sad.
Yeah, I knew I'd seen something about The Flash. Would you recommend The Flash?
Absolutely. I recommend all the Arrowverse shows. There are, like I said, some later seasons. Like, the first half of this first season, I was not that into. I watched it, but I was just not that into it. I didn't like the storyline. And I liked the later one a little bit better, and now The Flash War, which we get for the final three episodes, which, you know, will lead up to the season finale.
Season or series?
Season.
So there will be more?
Yes. We have a season 8 confirmed. We don't know after that. CW, I think, would like Grant Gustin to continue, but Grant Gustin may not want to continue.
I feel like of all those shows, The Flash is what I've, like, seen.
Wasn't The Flash the like, first, advertising. Or was Green Arrow?
Green Arrow was the first.
Green Arrow. I think Flash really, like, kind of took it off.
Arrow was first. Actually, you know, Arrow was pretty popular, which is why they could spin off Flash from Arrow.
Was Flash on the Arrow?
Mm-hmm. Mm. He was on there, like, in a few episodes.
Where did Supergirl come from?
Supergirl...
Krypton.
Duh.
So Supergirl was CBS's way of trying to get into the whole, we want a successful
Supergirl
superhero
show.
Oh, wait,
Supergirl isn't even CW?
Well, she is now, but her first season was not.
Did you say CPS or
CBS?
I was like, Child Protective Services is producing a show?
CBS wanted, because the Arrowverse was becoming very successful with Arrow, Flash, and Legends. So CBS wanted in, but they didn't want Supergirl to be a part of the Arrowverse until the Arrowverse had their first crossover with all three shows. Ratings were out the roof, and all of a sudden CBS wanted to be a part of it. But it still didn't pull in the ratings because they already had written most of the first series. Like, they did an episode with Flash where he guest starred because the CW parent owner is CBS. But
interesting.
It was not the ratings they would like. So CBS actually canceled it and CBS picked it up.
Hmm.
Or excuse me, CW picked it up. I misspoke.
And that was the lesson we learned today.
Speaking of CW, when are we getting Powerpuff Girls?
Never.
I don't know.
Never? You think it's going to be bad?
Oh, it's going to be
bad. I mean, it may not be me. Like, they're still reshooting the pilot,
it's going to be a one-season thing.
I want it to be ratchet.
I want it to be really good and they do really well, but I just can't see how you can take a Cartoon Network show, age them 20 years, and it lasts more than a season. Like, I hate to do, like, the Futurama canceled, but...
Trees down!
I don't know. I want to believe in it. I really do. I really want it to be good, but I'm not going to let myself get excited. I'm going to say it's going to be canceled after the first season, and then when we get more, I'll be excited.
I want to see some edgy Powerpuff Girls. I want to see him. I want to see live-action him.
It could be successful if they did it right, but I don't know if they're going to, and not to burst you guys' bubbles, but, you know, it's not even greenlit yet. It's still, like, CW has not approved it to start production. Like, they're supposed to be reshooting the pilot, but it's not an official show yet.
Well, so, you know, if they would just let us take over the production...
It would already have been done by now.
It would have been done by now.
It would be Blossom, Shane would be Bubbles, and Tom would be Buttercup.
Yes.
Duh.
It would be equal parts fan service while bringing new people into the fold.
I mean, come on. We could at least be the Rowdy Rough Boys, if nothing else.
Snips and Snails and Puppy Dog Tails.
We keep cutting Shane off. Shane, what else have
you
done?
That's all right. Moving on, I'll go through quickly so we can get to the fun parts. I played more Mario Golf. I've unlocked 2 courses. No. Don't make faces. They make faces when I'm talking, guys. So half the times you've ever heard me, like, take a weird pause, it's because they're, like, doing something to each other, and I can't.
Doing something. Shane, this is PG. This is... Corey is right there, Shane.
They're usually making faces or something. And something I was excited to tell you guys about, I have 16 Goosebump books coming. Mm. My grandmother, who's a thrifty thrift store shopper, found 16, and by my grandmother, it was actually my aunt's husband, who I guess is my uncle by marriage. But my grandmother's going to get them to me, and I'm very excited to receive those.
We should just go to the thrift store next to our work, Reggie, because I feel like they probably have, like, all of the Goosebumps ever.
They don't.
You've been to Hebron and Goodwill?
Actually, I haven't been to Hebron in a while, but I went to both the Goodwills and...
Let's go look tomorrow.
Had no luck.
Hold hands.
So I have 16 coming. I'm very excited about that. She read me some of the titles, and, you know, I think there was only one that overlapped with the books that I did the unboxing of on Instagram.
Nice!
So I'm excited to get those. And then finally, I was uber excited to discover the wonderful world of solo board games. Like, I love playing board games, and I love playing them with people, but a lot of times, you know, like, after work, we're not always seeing each other, we're not always seeing other people.
Only because Shane doesn't want to.
No, not at all. No, I'm just
kidding. Solo board games sounds like my childhood.
But they're tabletop games that are made so you can play by yourself. And, you know, I have one that's Horrified that does that, and I really love that aspect. It's even more fun with people. And that's the other thing about these games is they are able to be played with other people, but you can also play them by yourself.
Interesting. And what is the one that you're playing called?
Well, Horrified is the one I have right now.
Horrified,
yes. It's the universal monster one where you're in a village and you choose, you know, you could honestly probably play with as many monsters as you want, but especially playing by yourself, I play with just 2, and I beat them all.
So, like, solo board games, I assume it's like if multiple people were playing them, it would be like a PvE thing instead of a PvP? Player versus environment versus player versus player.
No, not always.
Not always? Okay.
Yeah, Tom.
I'm really excited about
this. I didn't realize more games were made that way.
Yeah, so I kind of wish I had learned about solo board games earlier in the pandemic.
Right? Same. So yeah, I'm really excited to get into those. I joined a wonderful Facebook group I can tell you guys about. And based on that list, like, just from one topic, someone asked, like, the best games to take traveling with them, I all of a sudden have an Amazon wish list of all of the solo board games and tabletop games that I want.
We talked in the tabletop games episode, we talked about some games I took traveling.
Yes.
I had Travel Don't Wake Daddy and Travel Hungry mm-hmm. Hungry Hippos.
You would.
I would. We took a lot of car trips, and I was ADHD, so they're like, hey, give him something loud. Mm-hmm.
Smart. Now I know what to do. Something bright, flashy, and loud. Tom, look.
Huh? But that's been my week.
Nice.
I love your week, Shane.
Thank you.
We also talk all the time, every day, multiple mm-hmm. times a day.
Yes.
It's like we're friends outside of just being podcasters.
Well, speaking of friends, I will share my list with you guys and everyone listening.
What's the theme of this episode again?
Scooby-Doo.
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Nessie.
favorite cryptid.
Shane's list.
List of Ness games.
Shane's favorite things is the name of this episode.
And we're going to sing the song at the end.
Yes. So first on my list, which is really funny because I feel like I'm the one that puts a lot more sports titles on my list. And while I consider myself kind of athletic, I'm not that big of a fan of sports on TV. I like playing them more. But the first game on my list is Track and Field number 2.
You know I am a track and field fan, yes. So I'm actually very excited about the prospect of this game. Do you own it, and can I play it?
I do own it, and yes, you can totally play it. And it's probably on Reggie's Pie, too.
Yeah, let's hear the premise before I cut you off again.
Well, I mean, it's essentially a bunch of different events, pseudo kind of, I don't want to say like Olympic style, but if you ever played Mario Sonic Goes to the Olympics, because I feel like that's the most sports games we get that's not straight up basketball, baseball, football. So you have high diving, you have actual track, you have hurdles, fencing is one of them, which I really liked. The high dive was my favorite, which is why I put the game on my list.
Nice. So like high diving, like swimming, like jumping aquatics? Off the thing?
Yes.
That's not part of track. I mean, I wish. I've always thought they should add pole vault into track, except
pole vault
is
an option on there.
You do it off of a diving board into a giant pool.
Yeah, there's like 20 some different events on there. I liked some more than others because there was like a fighting one, a karate one, I guess you should say. But I liked I liked the fencing and the high dive one the best. And the graphics on there, you know, they're the 8-bit system, but it just is so nostalgic for me because, you know, it's how everything was in the early 90s and late 80s. And it's bright and fun. So nice. It's one of the few sports games that I like that's not one specific sport.
Sounds super fun. And I feel like they just called it Track and Field 2 to not get sued by the Olympic Committee.
Well, I mean, there was an original track and field, but that one was only 3 events.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at the cover and I see pole vault, mm-hmm. hurdles, hang gliding, hammer throw, archery, yeah. karate, arm wrestling, maybe?
Yes.
Swimming, the rings, shooting a pistol. So I kind of want to coach this version of track and field.
Yes. Well, like I said, they have the original, and the original one, if you can get your hands on a copy, which I actually have on one of the cartridges, you know, they tripled up with Duck Hunt and Mario.
Oh, wow. So there was the double Duck Hunt and Mario, and mm-hmm. then Duck Hunt, Mario, and
Track and Field. But the original one was only like 3 events, and I think the actual track portion, because there was a running event, you had to use the gamepad for. Or you could, I think. Maybe there was an option.
Track games are just so disappointing. You just press 2 buttons.
Yes.
Left, right.
It's a bit like Mario Party. You can definitely get, I don't know, Nintendo Hand. Is that what it's called?
Nintendo Hand.
There was something, you know.
Joy-Con Drift.
Yeah. Not quite that, but. But yeah, definitely hurt my hand a little bit. Not so much hurt, but you know, pained a little bit, mashing the buttons as hard as I did.
I never played much sport games. I saw sports and I was like, meh.
Well, that's how I feel about some of them, but there are fun ones out there.
I mean, Pokemon's a sport game for the Pokemon.
Get out of here.
I feel like you have to have a lot of cardiovascular fitness to be the guy from Resident Evil. That's a sports game.
No, it's not a sport.
Killing zombies.
All right, moving along. Next on my list, North versus South. It's a Civil War game, and I like it. And the 8 bits are kind of cute.
Is it like Advanced Wars, which we're getting a new one soon?
Yes and no, to a degree. You have the overlay play, like you do different types of battles, but sometimes, like, because I remember playing it when I was younger, and this is one I don't actually own because the cartridge is so expensive now because, I guess, the Civil War, I don't know. But certain fields would have, like, a river or something or a bridge, and you would have to mash the correct button that would format your army. And so the horses would either be riding vertical or horizontal. And if they went horizontal and you went over the bridge, they all fell off the bridge except for the one on it. And then you would lose.
This game sounds interesting.
It is really fun. I don't know how to describe it because it's been forever since I've actually played it. I think they've updated it. And I may or may not own one of the updated copies on a computer that I don't play. But I like the original best. It's 8-bit fighting, two sides, one screen.
I assume it doesn't acknowledge the role that slavery played in the war.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I figured a game back you then are probably wouldn't.
Confederate soldiers versus Union soldiers, and every once in a while, depending on how you progress in the game, in which, because you can be either one, the other team will attempt to take over your train and do a train robbery, and you have to stop them.
And neither side was wrong, because they were all brave.
No. But... but it's a fun game that I like, you know, definitely probably light into Civil War much more than it should be, but I have great memories playing it before I probably really understood what I was doing. All I knew is there were gray soldiers and blue soldiers.
Yep.
And your horses would fall in the river if you didn't get them over the bridge.
I had that game, except it was just Civil War era army men, like the plastic ones. Mm-hmm. I loved army men growing up.
Next up on my list... something a little more lighter than the Civil War. Final Fight. One of the first side-scrolling ones that I attempted to play before I really understood what side-scrolling beat-em-ups were. But I love those type of games, as you guys know. One often makes my video game list every time. And for the NES, it's Final Fight.
Nice. What were the characters in that one?
Oh, goodness. I think that's the one that takes place in River City. And... I think we might have had Axe instead of Axel. Okay. But I don't... like, the Final Fight series is not as big as I would like it to be. And it's kind of hard to get your hands on a copy of any of the recent games that they've made. So there was one for Game Boy Advance that they remade called Final Fight 1.
Oh, I do remember this game. I'm looking at the box art of it now.
Yes.
Yeah, I do remember this. Oh.
But yeah, I love side-scrolling beat-em-ups.
Beat-em-ups.
Side-scrolling beat-em-ups.
We love those, too.
We do. Next on my list is a game you guys probably have not heard of, and I don't know if it's well-known or if it was considered successful. I have yet to beat it because I always get stuck on the Western level, but it's a game called Time Lord.
You little hipster. No, I have not heard of this game. Time Lord sounds like a sweet game, though.
It so really is.
Is it a Doctor Who game?
I would say it's more akin to Quantum Leap, if Quantum Leap was a video game, because you are a Time Lord who has to go to these different eras and find these orange ball things. I don't know what they are.
They're not Dragon Balls.
No, but they kind of look like them. Now that I think about it, they kind of look like them. And... you start off in, like, the feudal era, and I forget what's next, and then I always get stuck on the Western one because there's a certain jump you have to do, and it's an invisible platform that you have to hit to do the jump correctly, or, like, to do the double jump is what I think it really is.
It sounds like that Mario game with time machines in it. Do y'all remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is not that.
You don't get to surf in it to different times?
No. No. Now, Time Lord, once you collect all those 5 of those orange balls, and then you make it to, like, the end and either fight the bad guy or find the time machine-like thing, you get in it, he glows like they did on Quantum Leap,
wish from a dragon.
No.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden, you're in a different time.
Okay.
Nice.
But no, I just have a lot of memories playing it. I really like it. I do like sci-fi sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yes, yeah. No, there's such a thing with too much sci-fi and too fantasy with me, but...
oh, man.
Time travel is not one of those.
There is never enough sci-fi for me.
And finally, number one on my list, which is probably no surprise, and I had a hard time listing one, so I just said the Super Mario Brothers series, 1, 2, and 3, but if I had to choose one to be my favorite, I would definitely say Mario 2.
Mario 2!
Mario 2.
Yes. I was highly disappointed when we did not get that on Mario Maker 2. Because they left space for us to have, like, another choice to choose from, another level style. And a lot of people thought it was either going to be Mario 2 or, for some odd reason, the Game Boy version, which I don't know why anyone wants. But it never came, and it's a little sad.
I mean, I assume it'd probably be hard to, like, add in all the, the vegetables.
But it wouldn't.
Was that, like, in Mario Maker at all? Like, where you could throw vegetables at each other?
No, I don't think so, but I don't know. It's weird because they've added Mario 2 elements into the game. And if you play as Mario 2, you get the music, you get some aspects that he does.
Maybe it had something to do with, like, the rights of Doki Doki Panic or something.
I don't think so. I mean, I feel like Nintendo's
lazy.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of that because we got 3D World, which is very different. You can pick up things in that. It's like we should have had Mario 2.
feel like Nintendo's are just Nintendo is just a super villain being like, you want this? Never mind. We're gonna re-release it for money later.
Yes, a little bit, but no, I love Mario 2, and I think that's just because that's the Mario I played the most when I was younger. It's bright, which I have, you know, just a lot of memories playing it on many days. And it was mine. Like, I think I chose that one for my birthday, so technically that game was like my present.
Nice.
Ooh, because that gives you leverage, because when you and your brother are fighting over it, you'd be like, what's my game?
I actually claimed all the video game systems in my household, including my Wii, my brother's Wii. He gave it to me, so now I literally have every game system that we own, with the exception of his Wii U and his current Switch, but I have a Switch of my own.
The Shane hostile takeover of all the video games.
You'll take them from him one day, Shane.
Probably. But yeah, no, I claimed all the older systems, and now I have them and I play them. But Mario 2's, you know, only second to Super Mario World for me, and it's one of those games that when they do re-release it, I'm one of the reasons why they re-release, because I buy it.
Nice.
Very nice.
Honorable mentions, I put on Duck Hunt because I couldn't forget it.
You can't leave off Duck Hunt.
No, but I also put on Silver Surfer. Words, Shane.
It's okay, I was having trouble earlier.
So, and I feel like it's a game a lot of people don't know about. It's a side-scroller where you're Silver Surfer, but you're kind of, like, going with it. You don't get to walk and choose your direction. You have to go in the direction the game goes, and sometimes the paths are, like, up or down. And the whole time, enemies are coming at you. It's also notoriously hard.
You just gotta ride the wave that life gives you.
You gotta ride his board, his galactic board.
Nice. I do remember this. And it just shot out in front of you and you just moved up and down.
Yeah, and you have firepower you can fight the enemies off with, and no matter what you do, you can't beat it.
There is no beating it.
No, there's no beating several of these games for me.
No.
There's no beating any, like, Disney game ever. There was no beating it.
No. But that's my list.
It's a very good list.
Thank you. Very nice.
Well, Thomas, did you make a list this week or did you forget?
My dog ate it. Well, I did make a list. Like I said earlier, I did not own an NES. My experience with NES was playing it at other people's houses. And then basically what you can do with Nintendo Online, there's some Super NES games that I spent some time playing. It's also super interesting, though, to me, because a lot of games that I had played before without realizing it were just remakes of NES games, which made my list. So I guess maybe like around the Game Boy Advance era, they started remaking a lot of NES games that I didn't realize I had played. So that made my, or some of those games made on my list. But number five on my list is Mario 3, for a very silly reason. But we had these Tidy Whiteys growing up that were like Super Mario 3 themed.
I know exactly which ones you're talking
Mario
about.
Mario 3 Tidy Whiteys as a child as well.
And I never played the game. I just had the underwear. And I was like, why is Mario a raccoon? And they're like, oh, that's the cape in this game. Because I had Super Mario, which is like Super Mario is one of my favorite games of all time. But I haven't gotten to play that one much, but it just has happy memories because I had underwear with it on it. And I'm glad that other people can relate.
Yes.
And I'm pretty sure they were hand-me-down underwear.
They were broken in.
But yeah, I actually, I played the first couple levels before we met today. And I had, you know, I had played some before, but I like the raccoon. I feel like it's probably the closest NES game to Super Mario that there was when it comes to Mario.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's my number five. Number four is Mario 2.
Yes.
One, because my brother got a Game Boy Advance for his birthday, and I thought it was super cool, but one of the games he got was the remake of Super Mario 2 on the Game Boy Advance, and I thought it was super cool. And then just reading more into it, the whole reason why it was so different from other Mario games is because they made Mario 2 and they thought it was too difficult for Americans.
And it is.
What? Mario 2 is the easiest game. I can beat that game in 18 minutes.
The Lost Levels?
Yeah, they released it as the Lost Levels in
the US.
That's
the one you can beat. Mario 2.
I thought we were talking about Mario.
No, the real Mario 2.
Mario 2, okay.
The Lost Levels as we know it here in America.
Yes. Lost Levels. I haven't played them. They're on my Switch. I probably will. I just didn't have time.
Like, after level 1, you're doomed.
They're hella hard.
Yeah, but basically, so it was too hard. They released that one as the Lost Levels, and the version we got for Mario 2 was based on the game Doki Doki Panic.
Mm-hmm.
So it's you know, super different in the sense you get to choose a bunch of different characters to play as. Didn't you get to choose Toad, Peach,
Mario,
and
Toad,
Luigi.
Mario and Luigi.
And they each had different aspects.
They each different had different things, and you killed the enemies by like pulling turnips up and throwing at them, and you could like ride on enemies. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was cool because they introduced, that's when like Luigi got the special like super jump.
Mm-hmm.
Was Yoshi in this one or was he in the remake?
No, he's not in the remake either.
He's not in the remake either? Mm-hmm. Okay, I thought he was because I thought he got the hover jump, but yeah. Nope.
That's Peach.
So yeah, she got the one where she hovered.
She pulls up her skirt and flies for some reason.
And then did Toad have a special ability?
He was just like fast.
Just fast. Like, so like Mario Kart. but you know, I thought it was cool because I feel like Luigi's jump from that game got featured in other games down the road.
Smash Bros. Like that.
And actually, something I left off is like most of my knowledge of NES came from Super Smash Bros. Melee when you got all those trophies from that era. Like, yes. I didn't know what Excite Bike was until Super Smash Bros. Melee, and I played that game, and it is so hard.
Mm-hmm, it is.
Physics, yay. but yeah, that's why I like Mario 2, enjoyed playing it with my brother, and just super cool how it was. Literally, they were just like, this is too hard for these Americans, so we're just going to throw this game out here and call it Mario.
I mean, they were right.
I'll have to play the Lost Levels. Number three on my list is Duck Hunt.
Yay.
Mostly because literally everyone I knew who had an NES had that combo pack of Mario and Duck Hunt. And very few people I actually knew had like other games beside that. So like literally my only experience playing an NES in childhood was playing Duck Hunt and Mario.
Did you just stand with the gun on the TV and move?
No, but I really wanted to shoot that dog.
Yes.
I was so mad at it. There should have been a cheat code. I actually enjoy playing as that dog in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
Me too.
Yeah, I like playing as Duck Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
I was super skeptical about that being something you could be in Super Smash Bros., but they did a really good job with that character. But yeah, just basically because that was like the game that made me think of NES because everyone had it. Number two, this was almost my number one, but Kirby's Adventure.
Ah, it's so good.
It is so good. And the reason why this was almost number one is because I did not realize that Nightmare in Dreamland, which is my favorite Kirby game of all time. It's on the Game Boy Advance. I lost my copy and it kills me inside. I didn't realize that was just a remake of Kirby's Adventure. And so this was the second Kirby game. I had the first Kirby game where you couldn't copy powers. Kirby Adventure was the first one where you could copy powers. And it has some of the best powers of any Kirby game I've ever played. You get Sword Kirby, you get Tire Kirby. There's two different Flame Kirbys. There's like the Fireball one and the one where he breathes fire. The only difference between that I've really noticed between the NES version and the Game Boy Advance version is you got hats.
Mm-hmm.
You got the power hats in the advanced version, which I thought was super cool because you got a different hat based on your ability. But yeah, I love Kirby. Kirby Nightmare and Dreamland was my favorite game on the Game Boy Advance and my favorite Kirby game ever. And so just literally finding out yesterday that it's the same game as a game that I can go back and play now, I'm so excited. Yeah, that's mine. Did y'all play Nightmare and Dreamland at all?
I had Nightmare and Dreamland on the Game Boy, I believe.
Game Boy.
And then and that's where I played it.
I have the advanced one.
Okay, yeah. But I do love me some Kirby. That's probably low-key one of my favorite Nintendo games of all time. Like, all of them. You know, you don't get the animals in Kirby's Adventure, but you at least get a lot of really good powers that don't show up in later games. Like, Sword Kirby is, like, in one game. And Sword Kirby is epic.
He is.
But that's my number two. And then my number one should be easy to guess. Metroid.
I am shocked.
Not specifically. I haven't actually played through the original one. But this one's on my list because they remade it as Metroid Zero Mission for the Game Boy Advance, which is probably one of my favorite Metroid games of all time. But Metroid just represents so much for a lot of people. I was reading an article before we did this episode by Carrie Brunskill on Nintendo Life, and it's called Soapbox Super Nintendo Showed Me I Have a Right to Exist. And basically it was in the article, she says that like the Super Metroid, when she played that, I know that's a different game, but it was the first game where she like saw a non-sexualized female lead, and like literally she talks about how reading the manual to Super Metroid was the first time she saw like the words heroin, and she like repeated over and over mm-hmm. again, and it literally like showed her that not only is there like a place for women in society, there was a place for women in gaming. And at the time it was like Street Fighter and Streets of Rage were like the only women you could play as in video games, and they were ultra sexualized.
Yes.
And then you get this Bounty Hunter with
full coverage,
no like giant boobs hanging out. Her entire arm is a gun. She's a BA, and they actually say when they reveal that Samus is a girl at the end of Metroid is one of the greatest feminist moments of video games. I know we have a long way to go with representation out when it comes to both gender and race, but just reading this article from someone who said like Samus literally showed them that there was a place for women in gaming. Not only is it just my favorite franchise that's like icing on the cake mm-hmm. for me, but also Metroid, especially Zero Mission, introduces a lot of, I don't think the Zero suit was in the original game. In their end of Zero Mission, you lose your power suit and you're running around in the Zero suit that you might know of from Smash Bros.
Mm-hmm.
But basically that was in that part, you are at a severe disadvantage to the enemies. And so when I hear about Metroid Dread and how they're doing that game, it just really brings me back to that one. So there's y'all know I love Metroid.
It's yes.
and just the fact that like literally Nintendo just low key slipped it in there that, you know, you were playing as a girl this whole time and mm-hmm. deal with it. and while, you know, I feel like certain things about Samus, like her Zero suit, have been a bit sexualized, I feel like just the fact that there was a female character that was a faceless robot just rolling through harsh juggernaut. Yeah. And it's also playing, I played the original Metroid in researching for this episode, and it's interesting to see how it changed across generations, because later games, it's about being able to shoot and kill the enemies, whereas in the original Metroid, it was literally like, you should just run and not kill all this wildlife. So just seeing how far the game has come, I had to include Metroid on mm-hmm. here. But yeah, that's my list, and I'm sticking to it.
It's a good list.
No honorable mentions, because I was really grasping at straws for this one, because like I said, I didn't really own an NES.
That's okay. So, did you guys know that Friday the 13th was an NES game?
I did.
Have you ever played it?
I have.
Wasn't it one of the most frustrating things you ever played?
Yeah, I could never get very far.
What's the whole point, to die?
So you're a camp counselor, and you're supposed to go...
I think you're supposed to save the children,
and you have to like go from cabin to cabin to like find them.
Mm-hmm.
There was also a Nightmare on Elm Street game.
Yes,
did you ever play that one?
I don't think I have.
So that one was, if I'm remembering it correctly, it was kind of like a platformer
mm-hmm.
where you had to like, you know, go through the stages. Wait. And
I think I have tried it actually.
And tried to survive against Freddy.
Well, speaking of the mid-90s, what are we talking about next, Shane?
Well, the reason why I bring those games up is because we all watched the first part of Fear Street.
Fear Street, 1994. Yes.
And I am not okay.
Spoilers abound, everyone.
Spoilers. If you haven't watched it and you don't want to know anything, stop listening. Fast forward
just like jump 15 or so minutes.
We are about to do a deep dive on my rage.
Tell us why you're upset.
Mm-hmm.
Was it the bread slicer?
It was the bread slicer. Yes. And it was great until the bread slicer. And then literally, I just kind of sat there for the last, like, 15 minutes of the movie with my arms crossed, just, like, silence. I was mad. My wife was kind of, like, half watching it, and she had kind of, like, left to go do other things around the house. And when I told her what happened, she was like, I'm glad I stopped watching.
It was good,
She was
though.
So mad. It was so good. I was just so caught off guard and so... I was physically unwell at the during the last 15 minutes of this movie.
So what was the point of the movie? Basically, so
it starts in the mall and girl closing up, and Maya basically Hawk. There is a mass murder by a guy in a skeleton mask. Can I just talk about the fact that she's being chased by someone in a skeleton a neon light up skeleton suit? And she chooses to run into the neon light-up skeleton store to hide.
She was looking for Ryan, and that's where Ryan was working.
That's where Ryan was working. Ryan was also in The Boys. He was a character in The Boys, and I was like, hey!
Hey, I know you.
I know you. Let's be friends. Come on our podcast.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much the premise is that, like, the town, whose name I can't remember right now. Do you guys remember?
There was Sunnyside and Shady.
Shadyside that they called.
Shadyside and Sunnyside.
Side.
Sunnyvale.
Sunnyvale and Shadyside.
Which they called?
Shitside.
Yeah. Yes. And that's the part.
I'm the edgy one. I'll cuss.
That's the part of like a town where like all these random murders would occasionally happen. Almost no reason.
The whole thing is like the mall scene happens and it's a tragedy, but there's so many like tragedies throughout this town's history that like people are like, why are we even having a candlelight vigil at this point? This is silly. It doesn't seem like any of the adults care. It doesn't seem like any of the adults care.
No, I didn't see any adults except for the police officers.
And like those adults like watching TV in the hospital that were just completely oblivious to everything.
I felt like that was some kind of commentary too, because the kids were literally running behind them screaming for help and the adults were all just like veggies watching television.
Mm-hmm. So like it was, I feel like the universe that this existed in made it very unsettling in the sense that like there doesn't seem to be any form of adult authority outside of like maybe a vice principal and a police officer. Mm-hmm. And even they don't, like, there was like a horrible crime committed at one point and they're like, okay, you can go.
There's a mayor,
but basically it seems like there's some, and it's very it-like in the sense that there's just like a town full of tragedies and all of the adults seem extremely indifferent.
Yeah. I mean, I said it happens so routinely now, like you've mentioned, they may be numb, but the further along we get in the movie, you realize this is happening to the town because the town legend that says they're cursed is actually true.
It's actually true. There's a witch from, I guess, who was, you know, like burned at the stake. Mm-hmm. And there's this whole like Springfield versus Shelbyville dynamic in the sense that there's like two towns, one's better off than the other, and they're like constantly fighting. And so it starts out with like teenage infighting, and then it leads to them desecrating a grave on accident.
Yes. Yeah, which I thought that was, that whole premise of it really irked me the wrong way. She was in a car wreck.
Mm-hmm.
She was crawling for her life, and then she disturbed some shallow grave of some dead witch, and now
from, like,
she's
the 1300s.
Yeah, and now she's gonna like be attacked from it. The girl just survived a car crash. Give her a break.
Like 20 feet off of the road.
Wasn't they not even 20 feet?
Yeah. Like, also, how did nobody find those bones?
Yeah,
well,
I was gonna say the witch should have already been.
Maybe they
angry.
Did, and they all died before they could tell where the bones were.
Ugh. Well, they all became either serial killers or were killed.
But also just, so they found out they accidentally desecrated this grave, and their solution is to go take all the bones and put it in a Letterman's jacket and rebury it and hope that works. And I was just like, that is worse.
That's flimsy.
We desecrated this grave. Let's go touch all the bones some more.
Well, I mean, I think they were just trying to show respect.
Yes.
They were attempting to show respect by, like, taking the bones, putting them in something that was precious, and reburying it. Mm-hmm. And the one guy was like, we're sorry. You know?
Yes.
But so it's It was an R.L. Stein book, right? Is what it's based on?
So it was based off of the spirit of the R.L. Stein book series Fear Street. As far as, it was like Goosebumps, but it was more geared towards teenagers and college students. There was violence, blood,
hanky-panky,
mm-hmm. you know, make-out sessions at the local roller rink and stuff like that, because they were all written in the 90s.
Yeah.
But most of the stories that I remember from reading the Fear Street books never had happy endings, or didn't normally have happy endings, or the happy ending was a little bit dependent on whose side you were on, kind of, you know, maybe it was happy for one and sad for another.
I mean, this one wasn't a happy ending. We lost the best character at the end.
So, spoiler alert again, the main movie followed,
Josh is the little brother.
What's Josh's
the
little brother. Deanna sister? Was the sister. Deanna. And then, spoiler Simon. Alert, her girlfriend, mm-hmm. Samantha.
Samantha.
She's the one who's being pursued by the witch. And then there's the two friends. There's Kate and...
Simon.
Was his name Simon? Yes. Simon made me laugh all the
Simon,
time.
Simon played
his solo Pound Town adventure in the bathroom to running around with his like that knitted sweater that he wore. But unfortunately, in the events of the movie, Kate and Simon do die,
and it was all in like
the last 15 minutes.
Like the last 15 yeah. minutes, ugh. And you didn't think it was going to happen, and then it happens. And I first of all, justice. For both of them.
Justice for Kate, at least. Kate gets...
Justice for
Kate
Josh.
Fights back several mm-hmm. times. Like, I thought she was going to, like, beat him off.
She should
have.
You
know what I mean? Like, she really should have survived. But ultimately, she gets... They're fighting in a grocery store, and she's in, like, a deli section, and she unfortunately gets her head pushed through a bread slicer.
And they better, like, find a way to turn the witch's magic around on...
And bring her back.
And yes. bring her back so Josh and her can be a thing.
Yeah, that was the thing, was that she was kind of like the slutty best friend, mm-hmm. and Josh was the nerdy brother.
Slash drug dealer.
And Josh was the nerdy brother who, you know, was in chat rooms with people because the internet, AOL, was a recent new thing for them.
Cool scene. Like, the music of the time, the technology of the time, the soundtrack.
They nailed the it. Atmosphere, soundtrack was the aesthetics.
Awesome.
Josh and I are, like, soulmates. he was, like, into all the same music I was. He was introduced to the song Fear of the Dark by Iron Maiden, and then he was like super into just like being a sleuth on all these things. But basically, so it's like things have happened in the history of the town. It was caused by this witch, and then I guess they desecrate her grave, and so all of the things that have ever happened in the town, the witch sins, all of the killers in the town's history come after these people, because
Well, they come after the one. So they only wanted the one that desecrated
the
grave.
They wanted Sam. And
but they all love Sam so much, they said, no, you can't have her for some reason.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was not one of
those. She didn't seem like the most lovable character. She didn't seem like the most likable character.
No.
I still don't know why so many people were sacrificed for her.
Yeah, a lot of people were sacrificed for her.
The ending, it's part one of three.
Yeah.
So we still got two more movies to get through to find out the actual ending of the story. I hope.
And the 1994 story isn't done.
No, it's not done. It's going to be continued in the 1978 story.
They get a call from someone who like was part of a previous murder in the town that they had tried to help earlier, and they thought they had like gotten rid of the curse, and then it turns out that
it never goes away.
Somehow the last person who desecrated the grave or survived somehow.
Still is surviving.
Is still living and
that
not a killer.
Is Britta from Community.
Is she?
Yeah, which is what's one when we were talking about. I was like, yeah, I saw Britta at the end of the movie.
I honestly thought that was the character's name. I was like, oh, I didn't catch that. But it's not. I know that
No,
now.
It's something Burnham or C. Burnham, something like that. I'm really excited. By the time we have our next episode, the new one will be out, and so mm-hmm. we'll have watched it, and we can talk
yes.
about it part two.
But yeah, that whole universe was just bananas. Like we said, like it felt like children were in charge. It also like had you kind of unsettled as to like what age they were, because I feel like we were watching high schoolers, but there was quite a lot of hanky panky for a high school mm-hmm. for us watching high schoolers. It made me feel very dirty.
They didn't have the consequences high schoolers probably should have had,
or,
as we've talked about, the supervision. So it felt like you know, any of us could have been an actor in the movie and it would have been fine.
Oh, and it just seemed like they lived in a world where, like, everyone was just ready to roll. Yeah. And, like, mm-hmm. so, like, they're just like, okay, like, these people side us, let's kill them.
The one thing that I will say, when at the end of the movie, when they thought everything was done and Sam's mom came and picked her up from the police station, Sam's mom seemed awfully mad at her, considering that two of her friends were just murdered, yeah. and she somehow survived. Like, her mom didn't seem concerned about that at all.
Nope.
Yeah.
And I yelled at the television a little bit at that. I was like, she just survived a murder! Why aren't you being more passionate right now?
Because you're just like, get in the car. Mm-hmm. Get in the car, Sam. We gotta go to soccer practice.
Well, at the beginning, of course, you thought Sam was a boy, and then, of course, it turned out it was a girl. A lesbian love story, which I love seeing.
I mean, I genuinely hurt for the main character with that storyline.
I'm excited for part two. Mm-hmm. I can't wait. Maybe we can do a little mini-sode when all three of them come out and talk about the full story. Yes.
One thing, though, Josh kept repeating the Konami code during it.
Up, down, down, left, right, A, B, start.
I'm not sure, but what the Famicom, a podcast Shane and I are into, they did a whole episode on the Konami code that I haven't heard yet that we'll have to listen to.
And did you guys catch the Mortal Kombat references at the end?
Which one?
Well, one, Josh's death, because he got the Joker's death from Mortal Kombat. Yeah. And also they kept saying, like, finish it, finish her.
Huh. Finish her.
But yeah, overall, wild series. It sounds like it's kind of like a renaissance of slashers. That we're getting, so I'm excited to see where they take it and where the new ones go in Justice for Kate.
Up, up, down, down, left, right, B-A.
B-A.
Start.
And what did that do?
Numbers of numerous of things.
So it was like
depending on the game you played.
Yeah, depending on the game it was. Huh. You know, invincibility, extra lives, blah, 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 blah.
That's wild.
All right. Well, Reggie, you made a list this week, right?
I did, and my list is the exact same as Shane's, so there's no point. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, they overlap sometimes.
Track and field, too. No. So number one on my list, well, number five on my list, is the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game. I believe maybe it was the arcade one.
No, it is no, not, it's the not the arcade one. It's literally just the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
It's the one where you have the overview and you're the super little turtle when mm-hmm. you're in the city, but then when you go in the sewers or if you go into
a building,
it's like a side scroller type mm-hmm. thing. Loved that game. Yes. I always ended up getting stuck at the dam. I don't
Me
know
too.
If you know. Yeah, so
I know exactly what
and
you're talking
it's
about.
The electric when you're yes. swimming through the water and the electric seaweed or whatever it
well,
was.
I didn't even get to the water most times.
Eventually, I did. I was able to finally beat it without the game genie. I will add throw that in there. One of my favorite parts was at close to the beginning of the game where you fought Bebop and Rocksteady mm-hmm. to save April.
Yes,
April was always my favorite. So. I had to put that one on my list. Next one has already been said a couple times now, but Mario 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean the dumbed down American version.
The Doki Doki. Remask, I guess.
Playing as Peach as Peach.
Yes.
You know, as a little gay boy, that was probably one of the first times I can actually remember being able to, like, be a female character and she have the best power.
She has the best power.
She has the best one, which, I mean, the best one, the easiest one, mm-hmm. whichever way you want to look at it, but I can beat Super Mario 2, or not Super Mario, but Mario 2 in about 18 minutes.
Nice.
Because I know where all the warp tunnels are. I know how to get from the first level to the last level. Mm-hmm. Just like that. So my next ones are a little bit of cheats. They're both two games. Number three is the DuckTales 1 and 2.
Woo-hoo.
Where you play as Scrooge McDuck and you have the cane and you can bounce.
Yes.
And you're trying to get your jewels back and you go on all the different missions. Like the...
When I was doing a research for this episode, that one was, like, in the top 10 of a lot of people's lists.
Oh, really?
DuckTales, Rescue Rangers, all that stuff.
I have the, on the PlayStation 4, I have the Saturday Morning Collection.
Yeah.
Which is Tailspin, DuckTales, Chippendales Rescue Rangers, and Darkwing Duck.
All good.
That literally would have been my whole list if I could. But yeah. I was like, no, I have to branch out to other things. But I didn't go very far. Because then the close next to that is Chippendales Rescue Rangers 1 and 2. I loved Chippendale's Rescue Rangers more than DuckTales because I like Gadget more than I like DuckTales and blah, blah, blah.
I am so sad that you didn't get to dress up as them this past Halloween like you wanted to.
We were going to, but then pandemic happened and Halloween and this year.
We're
going to
have
year.
Like a week-long Halloween celebration this year.
Month-long.
I am so excited for Halloween, but sorry, Reggie, keep going.
No, I'm in the same boat. I'm excited for Halloween. And then my number one absolute favorite game from the NES. I don't know if anybody is going to be shocked by this, but it's the Capcom's The Little Mermaid. those Disney games made, you know, Capcom Disney made games are just clutch. They're so good. You played as Ariel, obviously, and you used your tail, and she could like sweep through the sand, and you could find like the Snarflats and the Dinglehoppers and stuff like that, and those would add to your points. But you could also find power-ups, because when she would flick her tail, it would send out like a bubble, and it would bubble the villain, whatever it was that you were doing, and you could throw it into another villain, and that's how you kind of like knocked them out. You had to fight. There were some villains from the game, from the movie. So there was like the shark, Flotsam and Jetsam, and then of course Ursula at the end. But along the way, you also had to fight like a giant crab, I want to say, and you had to fight. And the ice level, Sebastian's you had to fight like a walrus or something like that. But I have been obsessed with The Little Mermaid for as long as I can remember. And that literally was my favorite game. Like, aww. I would play it anytime. I actually have an own a copy of the NES version of that. So I had a really hard time narrowing down my list. So I do have a couple honorable mentions this week. Daydreaming Davy.
I love it.
Kid fell asleep in school and then he would daydream about all, you know, different time periods and you had to go through and it was find the stuff to do the things to fight the bad guy to get to the place to go to the next place.
And it's not an easy game.
It was not an easy game. The Addams Family game, loosely based off of the first movie. You were Gomez and you're trying to go through and collect all of the members from your family that you've hidden throughout the house. The Captain Planet game, impossible to beat.
I'm
not a fan of that one, and I love Captain Planet, but that game.
And then Beetlejuice, the NES game for Beetlejuice, you could step on the platformer. Little beetles. Yep, it was a platformer, jumped and stuff. both Captain Planet and Beetlejuice I got. And I don't even know if it was like a Great Value, Dollar General, whatever it was. I swear we were buying shoes wherever we were. But again, it was a million years ago, so who knows how well my memory is. But it was in a bin that was buy one, get one, and I got Captain Planet, and my free one was the Beetlejuice game. And those were I picked them out. They were my games, blah, 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 blah. So I had to throw those on my honorable mention list. NES, as far as I can remember back... NES I can remember playing. So as like earliest memories, if I'm trying to like dig through my past and like first memories that I can remember, it's playing NES. Playing Zelda. I mean Legend of Zelda. It's playing Mario, Mario 2, Mario 3.
Donkey Kong,
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Captain Planet. I mean, even the first Final Fantasy. You know, I had a summer where I didn't have anything except for Final Fantasy and the Landis-Moore set Jagged Little Pill. And I literally listened to Jagged Little Pill on repeat and played Final Fantasy from beginning to end. NES is a huge, huge system for me. So this one meant a lot for me.
Yes.
I really love the NES system. So
I enjoyed this episode a lot more than I expected. Just not knowing much about NES games, but learning what I learned just about all the remakes that happened in like the early 2000s of a bunch of NES games.
That's the first time you could take them portable.
Yeah. Well, and I've got a 17-year-old who didn't even know what an NES was, and I was like, buddy, you literally have one sitting on your shelf in your bedroom. He was like, I do, and I went into his room, and I put it, and I was like, look, all of this is an NES, and this stack right here, these are NES games.
Oh, you mean my coaster?
I have all of the original systems, all in working order, with working games that we can pop out and plug in at any time and play.
Yes.
And you have the Pi.
And I have the Pi that has also literally all of them, the games,
which is much easier to probably set up.
It's a lot easier to set up, and it's a lot easier to play when you
play it on
that.
It's not as finicky as the cartridges. I love my cartridges, but
nothing beats nostalgia.
Yes. That was great. Both your guys' lists were great. It was fun.
I miss cartridge gaming, to be honest. I mean, I know it was like way less efficient, but like... there's a certain parts about cartridge gaming games that I liked.
I mean, the Switch is kind of cartridge. Kind of.
Yeah, kind of, I guess.
I meant like cartridge, no memory card.
Where you have to blow into it.
And, like, it stores everything in the cartridge. I just, you know, a lot of those cartridge games are games that will never get old to me.
Same. Never getting old. But I think that was great. I think this week's been great. Do you guys want to shout out anyone before we end?
I will always shout out our friend Jordy Marie Games. You can find her on Facebook and Twitch. She does Animal Crossing during the day and various other games in the evening on Twitch. Sims, Resident Evil. I believe she's still on 5. I've not been a great friend and have not checked much this vacation. We actually went to the park together and did some outside stuff. So it was nice hanging out with her without a screen in between us. Always want to mention my buddy Jimmy with his Willow Mountain Woodwork. Does custom furniture. You can find him on Facebook, Instagram, stuff like that. Also, I've been chatting with a couple folks online with cosplaying, Old Fashioned Nerd and Cassandra Cosplays. You can find them both on Instagram. They're really inspiring. They're really, really getting me geared up for some upcoming Comic Cons and some conventions. And I'm really excited to do some costumes this summer and, and really get back into the swing of doing stuff now that the pandemic is over. And then of course we, as in the three of us, Shane, Tom and I participated in a local theater. We did an online show that Shane himself that wrote
and directed
called Slots and Slims in the Case of the Missing Family Jewels.
Yes, Detective Slots and Slims.
Detective Slim Slots
and the Slim. Case of the Missing Jewels.
Tom, Shane, and I, all three, are in it as, you know, pretty decent characters. That's going to be coming out available through Beanstalk Community Theater. You can find us on Facebook. So just pay attention for dates on when that's going to be released.
I'm so excited for that to come out because it's one of those things that it's been so long since we've done it that I'd kind of forgotten some of the parts of it, but that was a really fun well, stretch of time.
And I'm sure you guys remember, but this show was also the debut show for my husband, Corey.
Yes.
First thing he's ever done acting-wise. Ever.
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 God, he was so good.
Ever.
He was.
He's kind of the villain, I guess, if you will.
Kind of.
I'm really excited for people to see it. I'm really excited for people to see Corey. Everybody knows that I like to do acting and stuff, and so it was really, really cool to have him participate with us. So, Detective Slots and Slims, make sure you... Detective Slots and Slim, no S. make sure you look us up and pay attention for when that's going to come out.
Yes. Tom? Got any shout-outs?
Got a shout-out. Bulbasaurion, as always. She did that sweet logo we've been using lately. Lots of cool, I believe, colored pencil is her medium. But lots of awesome, I mean, just...
So cool.
Yeah.
So talented. You know, it was one of those things where I was like, hey, will you do this logo? Hopefully we can make it into a sticker. I've just been kind of lazy lately.
It's okay. It happens.
Just gonna admit that right there. it's a beautiful logo, and it was one of those things that I kind of like worked on in secret, and I'm really happy with how it turned out.
Well, anytime anybody puts themselves out there with their art and their creativity, it shows such vulnerability. It's always so much more meaningful and
well,
stuff.
Yeah, and I love people, artists putting themselves out there, and I'll see like things like in groups that I follow about like surrounded different like cartoon fandoms where someone will be like, I'm doing this commissions for this, and people are like, why would I pay for this? Like, this is terrible. It's like, no, this is awesome. No,
but then you see it and it's really cool and you want it.
And also, how about you do it? I don't know. I love, that's one thing working on our Instagram so much over the last couple months that I've fallen in love with is just all of the people putting themselves out there and making beautiful art based on whatever fandom they're part of. Also I had talked about them earlier, but what the Famicon, WTF Amicon.
It's WT Famicon.
They're trying to get a bunch of downloads for their 2-year anniversary. Mm-hmm. So go check them out. They have a whole episode on the Konami code that we talked about earlier. And then my friend Tim Lovick just released his own podcast that he has one episode of called Lovick or Hate It, which is his last name is Lovick.
Oh, okay.
But his first episode is on cryptocurrencies, but he's a jack of all trades. I've made some downhill longboarding videos with him before, but he has some things to say, and I'm excited to hear what he has to say. Maybe we can have him on here eventually, but that's my shout outs. I had really fun time this week.
All right. Well, before we go, don't forget to check us out on our social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. You know, we've kind of had a YouTube channel for a while, but we put out our first, I guess, real official video, which is Reggie unboxing some really, really cool Nerdtastic shoes.
Some Power Ranger shoes that have some white on them that I just spilled wine on?
No, he didn't. We would be fighting if he did.
Yes.
You'd hear scuffle, scuffle, scuffle.
But we're total nerdlist on all those mediums. Be sure to check out that video. It's a short video. And also be sure to give us a like, follow, subscribe to the channel if you want to see more, and we'll put more content out.
Let us know what you want to see.
Absolutely.
Love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.